Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, thanks so much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so pleased to have you with us this morning as we continue to study in the letter that James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote to the church way back in the first century, and yet the message is still timeless to us even today. Now, these last couple of weeks, we've looked at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's some pretty strong language there about the rich. And in fact, I wanted to just read this from the College Press NIV commentary on James and Jude by Gary Holloway. And he kind of sums up this last section that we've studied like this. He says, with his strong language against the rich, one wonders what James would think of the wealth of the typical American church member. Most of us reject the charge that we are rich. The rich are those with more than we have. As a student of mine once said in all sincerity, we're not rich. We live in a two-story house. Rich people have three-story houses. Like this student, we might define a luxury as one more than we have. If we have two cars, three is a luxury. If three televisions, four is what we want. To understand this passage, we must first admit it is written to us. We are the rich. If you had money to buy this book, then your income is higher than the majority of people in the world. If you have more than two sets of clothes, if you own a house or a car, then compared to most humans, you're rich. Is it a sin to be rich? Reading James, we might think so. However, James and the rest of the Bible do not condemn wealth in itself, but they do strongly warn of its dangers. The more we have, the more we want. Soon, if we're not careful, we're cheating others, hoarding our money, or failing to share with the poor. In an acquisitive society such as our own, riches are considered an unmixed blessing. We are taught from infancy to be good consumers and help the economy. Spending money is fun. Shopping is entertainment. In such a culture, how do we begin to free ourselves from the love of money? The first step is for us to stop celebrating the rich. When we find ourselves dreaming of wealth and what we would do with all that money, it might help us to read this passage from James to see the fate of most of the rich. Perhaps then we could pray, in all our time of prosperity, good Lord, deliver us. I like that. You know, he's not condemning riches, but the thing about it is we've got to be careful not to get caught up in them. Just like back in chapter 4 when James challenged those that were reading, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so if that defines us or that's a part of who we are, then we need to submit ourselves to God. And we need to repent of our sin and we need to turn to Him. If our riches have more of a hold of us than the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to repent. And we need to say, listen, serving the Lord is way more important than money or possessions or any of those things. And we need to have a giving, willing spirit to share with what we have and not just use it all up for ourselves. All right, before we jump into our next section then in chapter 5 and verses 7 down through 11, we want to listen to our first song this morning. And this is from Newsboys. It's called The King Is Coming. And you'll see why this song is so appropriate as we get into this next section. So let's listen to this next song, especially in light of what we just read about the previous section. Let's listen.
The king is coming. Are filling up. Wicked ways are coming undone. Every eye is looking out for you. City lights are burning out. Freedom song is ringing loud. Dead men waking up to the sound of you.
We're back this morning, and what a great song by the Newsboys. The King is coming. And that's really where we want to pick up in verse 7 of chapter 5 here in the letter that James wrote. James chapter 5, verse 7, he says, really in light of all this that he's just described in these first six verses, he says in verse 7, be patient then. Or maybe your translation says, therefore. And always remember when there's a therefore or a then in a verse, it should be something you always go back and look and make sure you understand the context before it, because that's where it's jumping from. So he says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Be patient until the Lord's coming. So here's the thing. Those first six verses, most of the people that would have been reading this letter probably wouldn't have fallen into that category. Now, James, again, like we talked about, was probably writing more towards the rich, those that were not in Christ that may have been visiting, or like we said, even those in Christ that had got their mindset and their worldview in the wrong place, or got it off the wrong place, which of course should be in Christ. But most of those first six verses aren't going to apply to the majority of God's people. And so most of God's people are going to be persecuted by, especially those who are rich and powerful that are not in Christ, because they don't want to hear things like in those first six verses. And so there's a call here by James to God's people to be patient. Now, this is a theme that James likes to use, and we've obviously studied this as we've gone through this letter. But remember back in James chapter 1 and verse 2, where he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then remember in chapter 1 and verse 12, where he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And so that perseverance is kind of more like an epic endurance, if you would. It's enduring through all of the trials of life, no matter how small or how great, kind of almost heroically, if you want to use that word. Whereas what James is saying here is more kind of a just quietly waiting, just being patient without complaining. Of course, something that we all need to work on when we're waiting at Walmart. I sure wish Walmart would get one of those shop-and-go or scan-and-go apps like Sam's Club has. But anyway, he says in verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." And that's really the key right there. In light of, frankly, all of the trials of life and everything that life has, and the injustice and the favoritism and the sin and the adultery and the fighting and the quarreling and the everything else that's out there, and being persecuted on top of that, there's a huge reason James says be patient then. And the only thing that can really keep us patiently waiting is to realize that the Lord's coming one of these days. The Lord is coming, and he's going to bring about justice. He's going to take care of sin. He's going to bring about a blessing through all of the trials in life that are there. And so we can have that now, but especially when he comes. Let's listen to our next song. This is by Laura Story. It's called Blessings. And listen to the message that's a part of this song this morning.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. we doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not enough. Desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near?
All right, we're back again this morning. Again, what a great song by Laura Story, and just that message that even through trials, even through hardships, even through tears, there can come great blessings if we will patiently wait and will just continue to be faithful and do the Lord's will regardless of the circumstances or the trials going on around us. Okay, let's finish off today's session with just understanding this idea of the Lord's coming. This is called the second coming, or the parousia, if you want to use a big fancy Greek word, which I don't like to use all the time. But he's saying, listen, brothers and sisters, you need to be patient until the Lord comes. And as James is writing that, this is something that was going to be a little while. Now, here's the thing about the Lord coming from where? I thought he already came. Well, he did the first time. He left the glories of heaven. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus came the first time to die on the cross for us, to pay the penalty for our sins. He died. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then on the third day, he arose victorious over death, and he showed himself to the apostles and many others. 1 Corinthians 15 says even to 500 brothers all at the same time. And so Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he indeed was victorious over death, and then he was taken back up into heaven. Okay, the apostles watched him as he went away, and the angel said, listen, even as you saw him go away, he's going to come back again someday. And this wasn't something new. Jesus had promised them this. John chapter 14, he says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You see, this is the great hope that helps us to be patient, to realize all these light and momentary afflictions are nothing compared to what awaits us. Jesus is coming back. You know, I love in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, and right at the end, he says in verse 8 of chapter 4, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And I want to ask you today, are you longing for his appearing? I hope Christ's coming is something that excites you, that keeps you motivated, that you live your life in the fact that, hey, it could happen anytime. Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. And so, you know, he may come or we may go to meet him, i.e. we end our life here on earth. We're in a car accident or we just die of natural causes or whatever. But sooner or later, we're going to face the Lord. And that's what makes it all worth it, because the good news is that God so loved us that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. So in spite of all the trials of life, in spite of all the consequences of sin, that we can have salvation and joy and peace and hope, like we talked about earlier. And so this is why James is saying, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. He's coming back all through the scripture. Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 2 Peter. I mean, the Bible's just full of it. And so be patient. Hey, our last song this morning is by John Waller, and this is a song called I'm Waiting. Waiting patiently, waiting hopefully for the Lord. What a great message this song has. And so let's think about the words as he sings I'm Waiting, especially in light of what we've just talked about this morning. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Let's listen.
I'll be running.
taking every step in obedience. Yeah, while I'm waiting, I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm
powerfully encouraging message that song has, and what a great challenge to all of us that are waiting for the Lord's return. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. I know I played a few more songs this morning, but man, all those songs have such good messages. In fact, as we go through this section, you're probably going to hear them a few more times because they're so applicable and they work so well. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come and meet us. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's where the church building is. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And I had someone email in the other day from the website, and they said, would it be all right if we came to visit you guys? I'm like, absolutely, sure it would be. Of course, everyone is invited to come and worship God and ask their questions and find out about life and eternal life and death and the Word of God and Jesus and maybe all the questions that you've been longing to answer and you haven't ever got satisfactory things for. Come and give the Lord a try here. And so I want to just encourage you to find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can learn a lot more specifically about who we are. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. Until we meet again together next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.